You're listening to Fan of a Fan, an independently produced podcast for Stans by Stans. I'm Kayla.
And I'm Augie.
We are back.
We finally back.
Like, it's been so long.
Yes.
It's been so long.
It has been forever, but we're back. And we are super excited to bring you guys just a little, like, summer recap. We've kind of been gone for quite a bit, so we thought we would share our thoughts on just, like, what happened in pop culture this summer, some of our favorite moments, some of our least favorite moments, and we're just going to do a quick recap, and then we'll be back with our normal segment, Flops and Faves, which I definitely have missed. I hope everyone else has missed it as much as I have. So, we're really excited.
Make sure you guys tweet the hashtag FOAFpod while you're listening, because we always like to, you know, hear or, I guess, see your thoughts on the show. And so, yeah, I'm happy to be back. Let's get started.
Yes, let's get into it. All right, so we are officially in fall mode, even if the weather outside, aka climate change, is not letting us believe that. But we're in fall mode and kind of in a space now where we can reflect on summer and like some of our favorite moments, some of our least favorite moments. I'll like throw it to you first. How was your summer? Like, what generally, just how was your summer?
My summer was good. You know, it was pretty chill. I went back home for summer. So that was different because I haven't been back home longer than like maybe a week or two, you know?
Yeah.
For breaks and stuff. But I was home the entire summer. So that was very interesting.
And we saw each other.
Yes,
I don't think we talked about it on the show.
We didn't get a chance to talk about
it. Oh my God. Yeah. So I went down to New Orleans with another round, because I helped produce on that show. And so we were doing a live show during NABJ in August. And Kayla came through, and we got to, like, see each other for a bit, which was really, really nice. And, you know, people have heard us talk about this before, but I'm from Louisiana, too. So it was really nice to be home. Some people from high school were in the audience at that show. It was just, like, I think that was absolutely the highlight of my summer, was just, like, going back home that week and just seeing everyone I loved. But yeah, generally my summer was like chill, and I guess like as far as pop culture goes, I have to say it was kind of an underwhelming summer, both in terms of like music and movies. Like, there weren't that many moments that were like, if anything, I was still really holding on to like things that happened in the spring. So like SZA's album, you know, I was really still holding on to things like that to get me through the summer, because it was, I feel like we were feeling literally the weight of the world, and that was, it showcased in like some of the summer like pop things. I don't know, how do you feel about like just how pop culture, you know,
I think
was in the summer?
The only thing in pop culture that really had me like excited, I think, was just like TV shows. So Insecure, HBO, Game of Thrones was so lit this season. So I think those two shows especially, and, you know, was it during the summer that Kofi Siribo came to my house?
I think so. I think that was early summer. I love how you, like, casually just dropped that in there. But tell the people, how it happened. Just super,
okay,
you
so,
know, you're married now, basically.
So Kofi Siribo came to my house. Because it was the start of the season two premiere of Queen Sugar. And he just posted on Instagram that he wanted to come to someone's house to watch it. And if you don't watch the show, they film in New Orleans. The show is based out of Louisiana. Some of it is in New Orleans and some of it is in like some city out
like,
in the country somewhere. But yeah, so they film in New Orleans. So he was here. And I just DM'd him on Instagram because I follow him on Instagram. And I was like, are you sure? I mean, are you serious? You want to just fall through somebody's house? And he was like, yeah. So I gave him my address and he came, and it was cool. Like, one of his friends, his barber slash friend, I guess, my grandmother taught him. So like as soon as he walked in the house, my grandmother is like, hey, you look familiar. So it was just, it was all great, you know. So yeah, he came by my house. So that was cool. That was a big moment in my summer, I think. But other than that, you know, music was kind of blah. I was still listening to music from spring, like you said. The only big, like, I'm a big movie person. I can go every Friday and watch a new release. I did not do that over the summer because so many movies were just trash. So, yeah, I mean, pop culture in all was kind of whack this summer.
Yeah, it was. But, like, despite that, there were still a few, like, standout moments. Yeah. So let's start with arguably one of the bigger moments. I mean, we may feel ways about it, but Taylor Swift made her comeback.
Yeah.
And so she released the single, and then now next month is going to be releasing her first album since 1989. Mm-hmm. So you guys know my fraught history with Taylor Swift already, and how, like, you know, at this point I'm, like, not a fan of hers, but, like, this made me even, like, more annoyed with her just because, like, yes, she's gotten a lot of criticism for, like, playing the victim constantly and, like, making that part of her career. But, like, what was crazy about Look What You Made Me Do, the single she released, and just, like, the promo and how she kind of, like, put this single out. It's, like, she truly, like, owned the victim status. But what's crazy is, like, even within the lyrics of that song, she's acting like this is, like, brand new. Like, that's what was wild to me. Like, there are literally lyrics from your first album where you talk about, like, from, like, Picture to Burn, which was, like, one of her earliest singles when she was still, like, Country Taylor, where she literally talks about, like, getting revenge on guys or, like, you know, in other songs where she gets revenge on, like, literally a song called Better Than Revenge. You know, like, she has done this before where someone makes her upset and she does something crazy in response. And, like, she tried to act like this was the first time. And so it's not even that, like, I'm not a fan of hers anymore. Like, if I was still a fan, I'd be really sick and tired of the same old shit. Like, she's not even, like, doing anything new besides maybe some a little bit more organized choreography, if you want to call it that. So I don't know. Like, this was supposed to be her big comeback, but, like, it ended up being so underwhelming and flat, even though she had, like, so much time to prepare for it. And so I just, Swifties, What is happening? Why are you still there? I have some questions. That's all.
For me, like, okay, so, you know, I'm no fan of Taylor Swift, but I remember when the comeback for 1989, you know, when she came back for 1989, and I could not ignore her. But now I feel like I saw her the day Look What You Made Me Do came out, and she was all over my timeline then. And then since then, it's just kind of been quiet for her, you know? Like, it's been real quiet for her, like Bella Hadid would say. But yeah, I mean, she has, like, isn't it, she has two songs out right now. And I didn't even hear the second one. I don't know, it just feels like it's just not, it doesn't feel like a Taylor Swift comeback, you know? People only talked about it for the day, on my timeline at least, and the social media that I use. Like, I didn't see much of Taylor Swift when the first song came out, and then it was just like, you know, so I'm not mad though, because like I said, I'm not a fan, so I'm not really looking for her, but it's surprising that she's this far into her comeback and I feel like I haven't seen much of her.
It's bizarre, and you know, we kind of go through these waves. Like we were really lucky in 2016 because we got so many releases from like all of our faves that are just like, it's not even like a debate. Like, they're talented and like people who, and they all happen to be black. I mean, Rihanna, Chance the Rapper, Beyonce, Kanye West, like they all released albums in 2016. And right now we're in that like off time for them where they're either working on albums or like touring or something, or like working on other projects. And so I feel like right now we're in that space, you know, that wave where like most of our faves are like chilling and not releasing new music. So I feel like that's, you know, and Taylor just happens to be in this like weird low tide wave. And so it kind of like, because of that, like her comeback was kind of built up to be even more exciting. And there was no way it could live up to any of the hype the media was trying to play it up to be. So what I'm trying to say is I'm really hyped for 2018 when all our faves come back, because this mediocrity is like actually killing me. But anyway, so moving on from Taylor, another person that really stood out to me this summer is the artist Dua Lipa, who you probably by now have heard of her song New Rules. And her debut album came out in June. And basically some background on her. She's this like British singer who kind of has been like trying at the music thing since she was like a teenager, but like she only just started to really like get people's attention. So her song New Rules, my conspiracy theory is because I kind of feel like she's an industry plant, but like not in a way that I'm like mad at it. I like, I fucking love her, but like it just was really sus, like the way her, the video for her song went super viral, like around like midsummer. And I don't know how that happened. I just, all I remember is like there was a span of like 2 weeks where like everyone on my timeline was just so happened to retweet her, like this clip from her video. And then people started doing like articles about how like, wow, this is what quote unquote diversity looks like, because she has all these like, you know, it's like women of color, it's like white women, all kinds of people in her, and it's like visually like really appealing and like beautiful. But anyway, I just think it's super sus how that song went viral out of nowhere. Like it wasn't like it was being used in like, I don't know, maybe it was, but like it didn't seem like it was being used on like any TV show or like something that like made it pop. It just happened to go viral randomly. But anyway, so I was like, okay, New Rules is pretty cool. Let me see like what her album's about. Like, and I typically like don't do this with just random pop girls, if I can be completely honest. Like, I don't generally like go past their like one hit single that's out. But when I tell you every track on Dua Lipa's album is like amazing. It's like well produced, catchy. Like they know exactly how to fit to this girl's like tone and just everything that she is trying to do. Like it's working. Now, there may be 10 other girls lined up behind her that can probably do the same thing. But all I know is what they packaged for her on this self-titled album, like, really did it for me. She has, like, a duet with Miguel on this album. But, like, the album itself is predominantly just her, which to me is amazing. Like, being able to, like, hold up, you know, your own debut album without, like, 20 different features. I always have respect for that. But literally, like, track after track is great. And I think that, for me personally, that was my favorite summer release, was Dua Lipa's album. So
yeah,
shout out to
her. I really love that Miguel duet. Lost in Your Light, is that it?
Yeah.
I really love that. I heard that before. I think that was the first song I heard by her. I didn't hear
New Rules.
I heard the song with Miguel first, and I remember being like, oh my God, I love this. First of all, Miguel's voice is amazing. Please come back and give us an album. And, you know, Dua Lipa, she has a really strong voice for a pop girl, so I really like her for that. And her tone is a lot different than a lot of the pop girls we're used to, so I like it. She has a very deep voice, and I love deep voices. So we love Dua Lipa. I don't think she's an industry plant, though.
Really?
I think that the video was fun. We got something that was really fun, and then everybody just kind of loved it. Because, I mean, there's still, like, memes about, you know, picking up the phone and what Dua Lipa would do if you picked up the phone or whatever. So, you know, it's just like, I think that that song just stuck, and the video was just even better.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Well, I will give you that. I will step down my my industry plant theory. And I do love her, so I say it. Yeah. It's all with love. One side note, this is something I don't know if I've tweeted this or not, but people who have heard Fifth Harmony's album, which came out recently, the song Make You Mad, does that not give you Dua Lipa vibes? Like when Normani first starts singing?
Yes.
Like,
I
not
hear
just
it.
The, like, it's literally just in the beginning of the song, the production, and
I
then, like,
it.
The way her tone is in the very beginning
it's
of that
blah.
Song. Yeah. That's, like, to me, like, when I first heard it, I was like, holy shit. Because at that point, when Fifth Harmony's latest album had come out, I had been listening to Dua Lipa's album on repeat. And so I was like, maybe it's just because I'm making this connection because I've been on her now for a minute. But, like, yeah, it Make You Mad from Fifth Harmony's album gives me major Dua Lipa vibes, just have to say. But yeah, so that's, she was one of my faves for sure.
Yeah. So moving on to emo music.
Emo
music. We got
music.
Kind of emo towards the end of the summer.
Yeah. It was kind of weird.
The leader of the emo music wave at the end of the summer to me was Daniel Caesar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his album is so good.
Look.
So good. It's I feel like I always fuss about artists making albums longer than like 14 or 15 tracks. 15 is pushing it. Mm-hmm. But I wish his was like 20 tracks.
It's
like
so good.
He can do no wrong.
It's like painfully good.
Yes, it's he can do no wrong. Like he will put you in your feels for real. And yeah. He has a really great voice. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I really like a lot of the new wave R&B, but a lot of these boys can't sing.
Right.
Like I mean, like, you know, I'm gonna keep it real. Like, they have a nice vibe, whatever. They can write really well, but they can't really sing really well. Between him and Daniel Daly from Division, they're the only people I think can really sing. Brent Fayez from The Hook on Crew is also really good. But Daniel Caesar, I mean, we got him and her, on a track.
Lol.
But yeah, we got him and her in a track. And best part, I think, you know, I struggle with trying to see which one is my favorite from the album. There's Blessed, there's We Find Love.
I know.
And then
every
there's
time
best
I
part.
Those are my three faves too. I think for me, it definitely, depending on the day, it's either, honestly, I've been getting into like Get You, the is it Kali Uchis,
yeah.
Yeah, so like she is featured on the first track, Get You. And I think because my like current romantic situation has slightly shifted, like I'm getting into that one a lot now because it's kind of it's the song on the album that I feel like is a little less like sad.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's
about like a crush to me.
Right, exactly. Know? So like that really has spoken to me as of late. But I think like in my heart of hearts, best part. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I always think, I don't know why best of her because of the feature. But anyway. But yeah, in my heart of hearts, I think best part and We Find Love are like my faves from that album. And it's I only recently have gained the strength to like listen to that in public, like on the train. It took me a long time. Like I was just like, I couldn't get into it. But like, yeah, so I just feel like in the beginning of the summer we had Wild Thoughts, I'm the One. Like we had like these really poppy songs playing everywhere and being released and everything. And towards the end, like you said, like it just started getting pretty emo. There's like that Logic song, which is like about suicide.
Yeah.
That's all over the radio right now. Daniel Caesar's album. And yeah, just the fall vibes kind of came early. Which,
can I say though, no offense, like I don't know if this is wrong to say, but I hate that song by Logic. I feel like I shouldn't hate it, but I really hate it.
Yeah,
it's a bad song.
It's not great.
It's not a good song. But I mean, the message is great, right? But like the actual song, it sucks, and I hate hearing it. I really do.
Another slow vibe song, speaking of that song, which features Khalid, is like the Young, Dumb, and Broke. Is that what
called?
Khalid song. It's like super slow. Mm-hmm. And I don't
know. He sounds like Kermit the Frog that song.
Jesus, drag them. Oh my God. yeah, but yeah, like I like my summers to be light and fun. Like I found myself towards the end of the summer, like just going to my favorite like soca playlists because the like what was actually being released like in a, you know, wasn't really doing it for me, and I was like, I don't want to be this sad. Like, I
we're not
don't.
Ready to be sad yet.
Don't.
It's not fall yet.
So
man.
that was definitely like an interesting theme. Like towards the end, is just how quickly, like the fall releases started coming out and making us feel all the feels. But let's end on a happy note.
Yeah. So you know who had a big summer? Cardi B. A big ass summer, like, and it's continuing into her. This year has been big for her,
I know.
The summer was huge.
Right.
Like, she was the one thing, consistent thing in pop culture that was not super whack.
Yeah,
throughout the summer.
Bodak
Yellow.
I mean, I feel like it needs to be dubbed Song of the Summer.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I think we had some predictions earlier in the summer. We had an episode where we predicted what would be Song of the Summer. I don't know if we mentioned Cardi. But
yeah,
like,
and now that I'm thinking about it, I don't think we did.
I don't think we did because, like, at that point, I don't even know that it had been released. And even if it had, it wasn't bubbling up. Like, I don't think, like, we all always, like, believed in Cardi, like,
right.
But I don't know that anyone thought that by the end of the summer, it would literally get to the top of the Hot 100.
And like, this is, like, currently it's the third week at number one.
It's, which is fucking amazing. And she just turned 25.
That's insane.
Like, she's, you know, what seems to be in, like, an amazing relationship with Offset from Migos. Like,
they're so cute.
We love hood love. Like, who has had a better year? And, like, what song, like, captures summer 2017 better than Bodak Yellow, honestly?
There,
like,
is
it
no
played.
Other.
At any time it plays in the club, like, people have gone crazy. When I was in New Orleans, like, there was at one point, like, the DJ told, like, all the girls who wanted to rap the song to come on stage, and, like, it was so fucking fun. Like, it's been a while, like, besides, like, you know, your Beyonce songs that'll come out, like, when you see just every woman in the club, like, just going the fuck off to a song, like we do during Bodak Yellow, like... It honestly, like, I'm literally bowing down in the studio right now to Cardi B.
Yeah, I mean, like, even when I feel like, oh, I'm kind of tired of Bodak Yellow now, I hear it and I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
This is my shit. This is my shit. I can't hate it. I can't hate it. It just puts you in such a good mood, you know?
Right. It like oozes confidence that like Cardi B has had for so long, even though she's, you know, people try to be like, you know, oh, like you're still young and you're like growing into yourself or whatever. But she's like, no, I'm good. I'm completely comfortable with myself. This is how I feel. This is what I'm speaking into the world. And I love it. So like, thank you, Cardi. And I'm happily crowning her like queen of summer 17.
Oh, absolutely. Definitely.
Yeah,
definitely. And I really hope that she doesn't lose her momentum. She has a verse on that G-Eazy song that goes the fuck in.
Yeah.
Like, I was so happy to hear new music from her and it was, you know, actually good. I think a lot of times what people don't like about her is the way that she enunciates. She doesn't really have a flow like Nicki Minaj. So I think that, you know, she kind of proved a few people wrong coming in on that G-Eazy song and really bodying that song.
Right.
I could do without G-Eazy, to be honest. But and she has another verse on a Juicy J track, which is, it's a very disgusting song, but she goes in. And so I was kind of nervous about her not being able to follow up the like hype of Bodak Yellow and just like the intensity of that song. But from what she's been releasing in these like little features and what I've seen, like clips of her in the studio, she's gonna do pretty well. You know, I don't think that Cardi B is gonna be a one hit wonder.
That's my prediction. I honestly hope not. And I literally second everything you just said. I have an honorable mention.
Okay.
One of my, like, absolute summer faves, which was Aminé's album, which came out in July. Still bumping that. Like, honestly, that's another album that came out recently that is just, like, track after track. Like, I'm not skipping anything. Like, I got to go through the whole album. It features my husband, Ty Dolla $ign, Kehlani, Charlie Wilson. And it, like I said, just track after track. Really good album. I'm seeing him live soon, and I'm really hype. But he is my cousin. I'm pretty sure he was a fave of mine at some point on one of our episodes earlier.
I think so.
And yeah, I just need to make sure, like, I mention that album is one that I'm still listening to as well. But yeah, that was really interesting summer. I don't know.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts, feelings?
No, not really. I mean, those are the things that I could think of when I thought back onto the summer. Honestly, like you said earlier, I've been listening to Control like since the day it dropped, and I have not stopped listening to it. So, like, that's pretty much. Yeah, the summer was kind of chill for me, so it wasn't anything pretty big. So,
yeah, hyped. I'm hyped for fall. I think like
same.
We're gonna get some like fall, and then like as we go into winter, like Chance the Rapper is now releasing some new music, and hopefully, like, you know, once Fenty Beauty dies down a little bit, we'll get some new Rihanna soon.
That would be nice.
SZA's been hopping on people's tracks. Like, I feel good about like where we're going, and we may have like, you know, we had a little lull, but like I think we're getting back to our faves. And the Grammys this year may be pretty boring, but like it's fine because we're boycotting them anyways. But yeah, like like I'm definitely interested in seeing where like the fall and winter releases take us.
So yeah, that was the show.
Yeah,
we're gonna get into flops and faves.
Oh, tweet us your summer faves.
Yes,
your summer faves, your summer flops. Like overall, how was your summer? Like, what did you think about pop culture this summer? Let us know. Tweet at us. We want to hear you.
So, guess what's back? Flops and faves. And if this is your first time listening, it's our least favorite thing of the week and our favorite thing of the week. And as always, I'm going to let you go first.
Yay. So, y'all, my fucking favorite of the week. I am so excited to brag about The Bold Type, which is a show that aired this past summer on Freeform, which is basically the rebranding network that was ABC Family up until this year. The Bold Type, I got into it because a lot of people I respect and follow on Twitter were tweeting about it. And I was like, okay, I need to get into this show. Because on the surface, it very much seems like the kind of show that I thought I would have outgrown, if that makes any sense. It's like very, it's like, the only way I can describe it, it's like in the realm of like Pretty Little Liars and like Gossip Girl and like shows I loved, but at this point in my life, I'm not really checking for.
Right.
But this particular show is set at a magazine in New York City, and like the three main characters are best friends. They all work at this magazine. They're like around our age. They're like in their mid-20s. One of them is a social media director at the magazine. The other one is a fashion assistant. The other one is a like writer, like sex, politics. She writes about everything for this magazine. There's a little bit of a Devil Wears Prada call out in that, like, their boss is this, like, super fierce editor-in-chief woman who is, like, scary and respected, but also kind of their mentor. Anyway, I relate to this show on so many levels that it's almost embarrassing because, like, they're clearly pandering to, like, the stereotypical, like, quote-unquote millennial woman. And I feel like it hammers in even deeper because like I work in media and I live in New York City, so it just feels like way too real. But like the kinds of storylines they touch on the show, everything from like one of the characters like realizing she's bi and like her storyline of just like kind of coming out and experiencing her first relationship with a woman who happens to be, and like this girl is like black, so like seeing like a black queer woman on screen is like on a drama like this is pretty rare. And then you just have different like workplace, you know, romances and just like dealing with like negotiating for a new job or like pay and different like things that are like very real that like we're all kind of going through. But like it's also funny. The writing is really smart. So yeah, The Bold Type is like my new favorite show. And I highly recommend everyone watch it.
I saw they just got renewed for 2 seasons.
Yeah, they got renewed for 2 more seasons, which is also really exciting. I definitely think that, like, Freeform has a hit with The Bold Type. And they're coming out with a few other new series, like Yara Shahidi's new show, which I'm hoping gets as much love and support as, like, The Bold Type and everything like that. I think, like, they're doing really well. It's, like, all the shows they're kind of investing in really give me, like, WB vibes, like when the WB was really good, except in a modern way, but like that isn't annoying or you know, like super
like, try
hard. It's like it's really adult also. Like on The Bold Type, like they curse, the sex scenes are like pretty explicit, like to the point where like if you're listening to it without earphones, it's like very, it's like I gotta figure out what I, you know, my situation here. So like it's interesting like where they're able to go with the new iteration of this network that I think a lot of the shows weren't able to go to on ABC Family. So don't write it off. I think it's streaming on Hulu now. So go check out The Bold Type. Really, really love it. My flop of the week, I don't want to get too dark, but my flop my flop of the week is depression.
Okay.
Because I feel like I am like going through waves of just like being happy but then like being really sad sometimes, and right now I'm kind of having like a, I was telling you earlier, like a really blah day where like there's no obvious reason for me to be sad, but I'm just like feeling like I'm in a fog. So yeah, fuck depression. But
I hate you, depression.
But like I have to shout out my coworker Nina, who when I was telling her I was just having like a weirdly just like not so great day, she showed me this Instagram post, which I will definitely link to. It's from the writer Ashley Ford, where mm-hmm. she like wrote about, and this is like a flop that's turning into a something that's happy. So bear with me. But basically this writer, Ashley Ford, like she wrote about her anxiety and depression in like an Instagram post. And she just talked about how like dealing with anxiety and depression is like surfing, where like your emotions are the waves and like you're the surfer, and like when you first started dealing with your emotions and you know whatever issues you have, like you felt out of balance, like you couldn't stand up, but then as time went on, like you started being able to like get your balance, but that doesn't mean like you're not gonna fall sometimes. So like mm-hmm. you know, this day is just kind of like a down day, and but like knowing that like I've had happy days and like I've bounced back from it before, like is super, like having reminders from people like this is like super important. And yeah, that is my flop, is just like fucking depression. But I'm gonna go home, I'm gonna eat an edible that I got from California last week.
Yes, self-care.
And exactly. And I will bounce back. But yeah, if you're dealing with any of these things, definitely feel you and
get an edible.
Please get you some edibles if you can. But yeah, those are my faves. Those are my faves and flops for the week. What are yours?
Okay, so my fave is Bella Hadid, because y'all, I swear to God, this is the funniest meme to me.
It is like, so funny.
I want to hate it because it is so cringe, but I love it at the same time. So if you've been living under a rock, Bella Hadid did this Complex show where they pretty much take a celebrity shoe shopping and they ask them, you know, what their favorite shoe is, whatever. Whoever came up with this, okay, you know, I really try not to shit on people's creative processes and shit, but this is such a whack show. But they go out and they go shopping for shoes pretty much. And she went, you know, with this guy, and he's like, so what do you like? And he's like, she said, well, if homeboy comes through with these, and she pointed to some, like, I don't know, some ugly Nikes, I guess. And she's like, if homeboy comes through with these, it's quiet. But if he comes through with these, some Air Maxes, he's gonna like get it. I'm like, what?
It was so cringe.
And then I think on top of it, after I watched it and like read some tweets about it and stuff, I think what was worse is that like how she looked like she was fresh out of like 2004. She had her hair half up, half down, and it was like in some Mary J. Blige No More Drama flips. She had on like this Kyla Pratt one-on-one outfit. It was just like, all of it was just so ass backwards. And I just love her for it, because it is just, it's some quality memeage, okay?
Quality.
Like, I love it. And
we all needed, you know, that. We all needed, yes, that meme so much, because this definitely week has been complete trash. So, like, just when I saw that meme pop up, like, I died. Like, it, yes, is, it's so funny, and every version of it since has like,
yes,
killed me.
So funny.
So yeah, shout out to Bella.
I want to hate it,
in
but
full
it's so
support
funny
of this fave.
And I think what one of the funniest reactions to it is, a lot of people, I guess, have not heard her speak before.
Yeah,
because she's a model. So so many people were like, I'm so surprised she doesn't have like a thick Russian accent for some reason. Like, where did she come from with this Valley Girl accent? I'm like, she's from California, but yeah, you know, whatever. But yeah, so Bella Hadid, that, you know, Complex show thingy she did was so fucking funny. Like, shout out to you, girl. I needed that. I needed those laughs. But yeah, so that's my fave. And my flop, I just got my flop like a couple hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
Bea Miller. Now, if you don't know who Bea Miller is, she was on the season of X Factor with Fifth Harmony. I think, was it that season?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So she was on that season with them. And someone retweeted a video of her. I don't follow her, but somebody posted a video of her singing Bodak Yellow by Cardi B. And y'all, it is the worst thing I've ever heard. Now, I have heard some really bad acoustic covers of rap songs by these like indie singers with these really weird accents. And they've all been bad, but this is the worst. Like, you know how SZA does that really weird accent?
Squit, squit.
Squit, squit on niggas. So, like, I only tolerate that from her. And even, like, sometimes I hate it from her. So, hearing B. Miller fucking sing Bodak Yellow in such a strange accent, it just really fucked me up. Like, when I watched, I'm like, this is not what I needed. I was having a good day. This, like, ruined my day almost. So, yeah, like, can we, like, just stop with the acoustic covers of rap songs? I thought we were over that when, like, Ed Sheeran died down. So, I guess we're not, though. So, we need
this
to end.
Thank you for warning me that this exists. I had not heard it. And,
please,
like,
don't watch
now
it.
Now I can actively avoid it so that I don't accidentally don't watch it. Come across,
like,
it.
If you haven't seen it, guys, please don't watch it. It is so bad. It's so bad. Like, it's not even the bad that makes you want to look at it and it's like, oh, I got to look at it. It's funny, haha. But no, it's just really fucking bad. So just don't even watch it. But yeah, so that's my flop of the week. Just, you know, stupid indie accents covering rap songs. We don't need it. But yeah, so that's that.
That's the episode. Ooh, I don't know what that was.
Vocals. If you like the music in the beginning and end of every episode, it is made by our good friend Dion, and you can follow her on Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud, all the things at your girl DJ Magic.
Yes.
And yeah, listen to her mixes and shit. She's great. We love her. Mm-hmm. Shout out to you, Dion.
Shout out to you. And if you want to follow the show on Twitter or Tumblr, you can follow us at The Fan Podcast. Tweet us, let us know what's up, and you can find Kayla and I's Twitters and whatnot in the description box and in the bio of our show Twitter. So hit us up. Let us know what's up. We're excited to talk to you. And thank you again for, like, sticking around and asking where we are. And
we love y'all.
You know, saying that you miss us, because, like, we genuinely have missed y'all too. And, like, I definitely have missed doing this and am excited that we're back and able to talk about shit.
We love to talk about shit.
Yeah.
We love to talk shit. So, and also, if you want to rate us on iTunes or Google Play or, you know, wherever you get your podcasts,
wherever you listen
do that,
to
please,
podcasts.
Because that would be really nice.